Well, here we are, the evening, September 9th, 2012, 12 years after the world was supposed to fall apart because of the computers switching over to the year 2000. What do you call that? Y2K, I think it was called. So, anyway, I got to get my yawns in. I have not yawned all day. Got the cam going already here. Well, I'll tell you what, looking back in that video, this is one drab-looking room here. I'm going to have to do something in the background here to make it. I mean, you get these fancy-schmancy guys on their pastor's office. You get this bookcase behind all these books, you know, the fantastic covers and all these volumes of studies they've done. And really, all you need on your bookcase is your Bible. Your concordance doesn't hurt, but just read the thing and put all those verses together. We have certainly got the greatest tools ever to study the Bible with a simple concordance. And I don't mean to find the Greek numbers so we can go back and find out what the Greek says. I'm just talking about being able to type in a word and see what the Bible, well, all the verses that have that word in it, and do your studies, and then you can type those words in there. And you can compare them to the verses in Paul's writings, and you can compare them to the verses in the Gospels. You can compare them to Peter and James in the Tribulation books, and you will you will see a difference. There is a difference when you compare one word or one subject, how it's taught in the Gospels and how it's taught in early Acts, how it's taught in the Tribulation books, as I call them, Hebrews to Jude, and they're different than what Paul teaches. And then we got to remember, Paul does say that in Galatians chapter 1, if anybody teaches anything else that he's ever been teaching, then he says there, let him be accursed. So if it's not from Paul, it's not right. It's not what we're supposed to be looking at for today. You learn the rest of the Bible for God's severity, for how he handled the Jews, and how he will handle the people during the tribulation. Like I said, the book is dispensationally written. It just makes total sense. It's amazing. And yet, people don't understand it. Well, we talked about that this morning. This is kind of my bloggy sermon because it's just about my excitement of the peace and the... I mean, there's not a whole lot of happiness. I mean, life is still struggling and we're perplexed. But we're not distressed, and we're troubled, not distressed. I think I got it right. And we're perplexed, but not in despair. That's the other way around. Whatever. We know things are rough. We know things are tough. And we understand what's going on. So tonight, let's just do a little bit more part two of this bloggy of mine. The verses we said this morning is Paul's goal that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. And people that stay out of the book and wrongly divide, as it says, which is profane and vain babblings, their understanding is darkened. So here we are, we're trying to talk to these people about Paul only, and they don't have a clue what we're talking about. They don't understand it. And even like I call them the mid-actors, they don't do all of Paul. And if you do Paul at all, you do all of Paul. There must be some kind of a poster we can make of that thing. But we'll talk about that in a minute. I'm not bashing people. It's just the denominations. And we're not a denomination. Do you know that if you're a non-denominational, you're still a denomination? That's just what you call it. Your name for your denomination is non-denomination. Call it what you want. That's still what it is. And the devil's not going to let anything go by without some confusion. So if the truth is Paul, which I believe that it is, then there has to be some confusion with Paul. So, they come up with these people that think the church began at Acts 8, Acts 2, Acts 13, Acts 28. Then you find out that the people that teach church began at Acts 28 really don't believe that. Then you find out, the more you dig, that they're not really all King James guys. And you find out that their music stinks. The ladies are running the church, and they spend all their time on where the church began, and they start tweaking the Israel thing, and they stay away from Paul. They stay away from Timothy. Now, as we're going to get into this thing tonight, I guess I'm jumping the gun. It just stirs me up here when people say they're from Paul, following Paul, but they really aren't. We'll get to that in a minute here. Let's go back and kind of review a couple more verses. We did the riches of the full assurance of understanding. And you notice it doesn't say the riches of the full knowledge of understanding. It's assurance. I think that's what I guess I just recognized the other day driving that little bitty bus, writing these things down, was there's an assurance of my understanding. My assurance is correct. Is it because I've been to college? Is it because I'm a Bible scholar? Is it because I've read my Bible 57 times? I know people have read their Bible 40, 50, 60 times, and they still don't get it. They say they follow Paul, but they accept everything else, and we can't. They miss so much still. It amazes me. Well, there's that assurance of understanding, and people call it, arrogance. No, the word is assurance, not the arrogance of understanding, the assurance of understanding. And so we are looking at things where Paul says, consider what I say, and that's what Paul says, and the Lord giveth the understanding in all things. So we're just going to go over some things tonight that I believe are, to me, from my personal self, from my personal assurance of understanding. You know, you can ask people, do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die? Do you have that assurance of salvation? Well, you know, there's all sorts of ways people can get in and out of that thing. Most of them, if you pin them down, they don't know how to prove their salvation. They really don't. They just say, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe that He's a, you know, and they can't prove anything. Well, how do you know you haven't received another Jesus? That's what I'm talking about. Receive another spirit, and you're believing in another Jesus. Well, it's because it's the Jesus of the Gospels. Yeah, but they're teaching you the wrong teaching. So how do you know you get the real Jesus out of that? So anyway, there's that assurance of salvation. People always ask, Bible guys always ask that to people. But what about asking somebody about the assurance of their understanding? This is a good question. Is the understanding that you have to this point of your Christian life, we've got long ways to go yet, no doubt about it. But if we have an assurance of our understanding, that's a marvelous feeling. Going by feelings, no, but there's still feelings there. So, do you have the assurance of understanding that it is of the right understanding? Is it what Paul wants you to know? Because Paul is going to be the one that gives us that understanding through the teachings and the words of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ gives the understanding. He did in Luke. Well, I know that, but He's given us the understanding through Paul, through a King James Bible, rightly divided. There we go. So, let's trek on here with some things that we have assurance of the understanding here. We talked this morning about the judgment seat of Christ. Do we have an understanding of the judgment seat of Christ? We should by now, but listen to me very long. We know we're all going to have a lot of things burn up in the judgment seat of Christ. We're not stupid and we're not deceiving ourselves. But if all people do is spend their time reading books about this, what's wrong with this world, and they get this great big brain knowledge and all this stuff, and they read their Bible, they understand the rightly divided thing, in there, and it's just fantastic stuff, and they don't get into Timothy, then their works are going to be judged, not their brain. We talked about that this morning. We talked about health and disease. Why is it some people die when they do? They get sick when they do. The pastors out there will be the first to tell you it's because of sin in your life. It's because you're not given enough money. It's something along the line where you are getting chastised by God. No, we're living in a sinful world. It's not just sinful, it's sin. It's full of sin. It is a sin. It's a cursed world. So all this stuff is based on the fact that this world is cursed. Some people seem to make it to 80, 90, 100 years old for smoking. Some people keep a clean life and they get cancer when they're 25. I mean, what's going on here? This world is cursed. The ground is cursed. The food we eat is cursed. And man is just adding curse upon it. The women are having the trouble they're having because they're trying to change their curse. Men are trying to change their curse. We're trying to make our jobs easier. Women are trying to do the guy's thing, and the guys are being forced to do the woman's thing. We wouldn't have an unemployment problem in this country if the women went back home and had children and the guys went to work. Oh, boy, that sounds really old-fashioned. You're just the old-school guy. Well, that's true, you know. But anyway, whatever. Okay, we talked about, we just made mention of music, made mention of education. We did. We spent a lot of time on the curses being ignored. I understand that. I understand what women are trying to do. I got it. They're trying to get away from their curse. They hate the fact that their desire is to men. and for to men to rule over. They hate that. And here, we'll just add this one. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, I think it is. And, you know, this thing about animals and stuff here. Yeah, Genesis chapter 1, 20, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Well, animals have more rights than other people. So, we get this whole thing backwards. I understand that. These people are trying to create the millennium without Christ. They're trying to create this perfect little utopia down here without Christ. And I just, you know, come on people, it will come, it's coming, just relax. You know, it's coming, God will take care of it in due time, it's His time. Bible says the earth is waxing old and it's going to get old. We can't stop it. So you don't need to contribute purposely, but, you know. Anyway. Well, here's some other things that we can have a good understanding in. And let's just turn to Proverbs in general, I guess. Here's a thing I came up with this years ago, and I'm just so thrilled with it. It was one of my first biblical counseling type of sermons. And that's understanding parenting. We know there's verses on parenting. We've read them before, you know. People take the bruise your children so they're black and blue and all this kind of stuff. And the Christians have gone nuts with the spanking thing. And I'm not going to touch that. That's just... not beating. There's all sorts. There's a whole other sermon in itself. But I came across this when I studied these kids that do some things wrong in their lives, in their family, and how moms and dads fight over that. I bet you guys remember this thing. And it's a PowerPoint presentation, and it talks about how dads react to their children compared to how their mothers react to their children. So when our children do something wrong, or do something right, or whatever, but mostly the whole issue is when they do something wrong, the wife gets upset because the man did not handle it the way she did. Or vice versa. Why does the man get so upset? Why do you have to get so upset about it, honey? You know, well, because the woman will. So anyway, this is that study. We have great understanding about parenting with children. And see, those children know how to pit the mom against the dad and the dad against the mom. Because they know that dads and moms... I mean, who do they get their dad wrapped around their finger? The daughter? Sure they do. And then the guys can get the dads wrapped around their little... The guys can get their mom wrapped on their little finger. Because they know how mom's going to react. Okay, for example here, just get on the PowerPoint presentation thing. But it's the man that suffers grief. He's no joy from a foolish child. The father will be wasted. I like that phrase. Joint calamity. He's cursed by the kids, mocked by the kids, and he will suffer reproach because it's embarrassing to him. Those are his kids. But see, now the wife, she has shame as well, but she knows she'll be despised and she'll be chased away. She wants out. Not be blessed. It says she'll be bitter. And she'll have a heaviness about her. Well, see, the men don't do that. Men don't get bitter. It's like, you want to be a jerk, son? Then go off and be a jerk, I guess. Well, the mother is bitter and gets heavy-hearted over that thing, and she wants to leave. Different reactions, different things. So we get a great understanding of parenting. Then I should have thought of this verse. Where's that at? Where it talks about the fathers they should charge their children. They're going to exhort their children. But they're going to comfort them as well. And most parents I know, most fathers I know, are be glad to preach at their children. They'll have a Bible study that's geared on beating their children up. And to charge them. But how many fathers know how to comfort their children? Paul says, as a father nurtures his children or something like that. I wish I had written that down here. Nope, it's not there. It's not there. Timothy, way to go, Paul. So bring up something you can't quote it. Anyway, so we understand the problems parents are having with their children. We taught our children a religion, and now they realize that God is not there the way we taught them to be, and they're mad at God. I understand that. I understand the difficulty of parenting. I understand where parents are falling down. I understand where homeschoolers are just doing a horrible job because they're busy, they're lazy. The husbands won't let the wife have the time to prepare. All sorts of things in parenting going on. And you know what? You stick with Paul, you'll understand it. You'll understand that they're going to try to homeschool, they're going to blow it. Their kids are going to be, they're not going to speak right, they're not going to know a lot of things, they're not going to fit well into society. Well, they say, well, society isn't worth fitting into. Well, tell that to your kids when they're 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years, letting their music just kind of destroy them and their drugs and stuff because they don't know what to do in life. You know, you got to prepare them the proper way. And Paul tells us that. Anyway, so that's parenting. How about marriages? This is a tough one. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We can get a good grasp on marriage. It isn't the unpardonable sin to get a divorce. Matter of fact, Paul says, listen, if your husband doesn't allow you to be the kind of Christian woman you want to be, or if your wife doesn't allow you to be the kind of Christian man you've learned to be, then you can depart. Well, that goes against all these guys in the East, especially in the East, about divorce. So it's like, you get a divorce, well, that's unforgivable, unpardonable sin. You can't preach, you can't teach, you can't do anything like that anymore. And if you get married, you shouldn't get married because you don't believe in divorce, so you need to divorce your second wife to get the back of that first wife. But if you don't believe in divorce, how can you get a divorce on that second wife and go back to the first one? What a mess. But you read 1 Corinthians chapter 7 really slowly. If a brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. But if they do, it's not a sin. But if you want to get remarried again, you're going to have trouble in the flesh. I mean, that chapter has got it all. Divorce is okay. I mean, it's a sad thing. It's not God's design, but he's got it covered. And if a pastor gets a divorce, it's going to hurt the ministry. Sure it is. But he can bounce back up and get back into it again. I don't see any scriptural problem with that. He'll know all about marriage this time to talk to people about it. It's crazy stuff, you know, what they say out there. There's a lot of good preachers out there not preaching because their wife messed them up. You go back and you look at some of the famous preachers in the past or famous people in the past, their wives made their lives miserable. One I remember recently is reading about Harry Truman. Well, Bess Truman didn't want anything to do with the presidency. He made his life absolutely miserable. Well, he stuck with her. That was good of him. So, you know, whatever. Let's go to Second Timothy. Let's look at something else. Politics. Let's look at this politics thing. Oh, I understand the politics big time. Not as much as a lot of people. There's a lot of guys out there that have studied politics greatly, and they can give you the details of all the different parties, what they represent. They can give you the details of the voting records. They can tell you that Romney's no different than Obama. In fact, I heard today that Romney's going to keep some of the Obamacare. Well, we know that. We know that Obamacare has very little to do with health. It has everything to do with controlling government, government controlling us. There's so many things in that Obamacare that have nothing to do with medical. I mean, they got the IRS out there going to be enforcing this thing. What does that got to do with medical insurance? So we understand all that stuff. But what we really have to understand is in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul tells us in chapter 2, verse 4, no man that warreth, I mean, if we're going to battle over this Paul stuff and do what we need to do here, that endure hardness in the verse before that, verse 3, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If we're going to fight that kind of a war, we can't get entangled in the affairs of this life. It doesn't please God that we're a great politician. It doesn't please God, according to this, it doesn't please God that we spend all of our time studying these political candidates. Not if you want to be the good soldier of Jesus Christ. Not if you want to tell people about a King James Bible. Not if you want to tell people about following the risen Savior through Paul. You get caught up in this other stuff, you're going to get caught up in false doctrine. Because for one thing, these Christians out there, these Christian politicians, are putting forth a false gospel. Romney's been putting forth a Mormon gospel since he's been yakking. Well, Mormons are Christians too, aren't they? No. Because the Jesus they say they're believing in is the brother of Satan. And if they're married in the temple, it's because they've been such good little people that these Mormon mission, these Mormon priests, whoever these guys are, get to dump your body with oil and touch it everywhere. What is this? That isn't the way God operates. And God's up there making babies, and these babies are just waiting to come down here so they can live a good life, and then maybe they can earn their way back to where they came from. You know, people mock Paul's teachings and stuff, but come on, if you're going to mock something, mock the Mormon teachings. The people, they don't know any different. That's what they taught. You know, they believe that, and that's their belief. You know, whatever. But as far as their religion goes, it's demonic, devilish to the max. Okay, speaking of religion, oh, wait a minute, we done that thing? No, let's go, we're still back to politics, not getting caught up in the affairs of this life. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, back a little bit. Be not thou therefore, in verse 8, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. People get into politics because they want to try to make everything easier as a Christian. Well, if you go look here at 1 Timothy, I think it is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it says, for king we pray, you know, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. There's nothing wrong with praying for that. There's nothing wrong with wanting that quiet and peaceable life. The problem here is we do not want that life, that quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We would have fought the government a long time ago if that's what you really believe for yourself. And maybe you do. I'm glad you do. If that's what you're trying to live, is a godly and honest life, make sure that godliness is based on Paul's teachings, not some religious stuff. And go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This politics is getting worse and worse. Well, of course it's getting worse and worse. We are in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. What's that? Day of Christ is at hand. Except they're coming and falling away first. It is not going to get any better. I mean, it just isn't. I just looking at my check today. I got a 3-month check, and I got my bus driver pay on there with my regular salary, and I'm looking at that, at the total going, what? Well, that's not near as much as what I thought it was going to be. And how are we going to do that? Well, it's not going to get it. Look at the taxes that are out of that thing. Social Security, SIT North Dakota, whatever that is, Medicare, FIT, TREDET DIS, TRET INDY, you know, what is all that stuff? Check out your cell phone, but look at all the taxes they're paying out of that thing. It's going to get worse. And no president's going to fix it. They got the Congress, they got to get by, you know the whole story. So Paul is very clear, listen, if you want to fight for the Lord, you want to fight for the King James Bible and talk to people, make that your battles, then, man, stay away from the political stuff. You're not going to get... You see, we understand that. I understand that. We know where this election is going to go. It does... Obama does bug me. I mean, he just flat irritates me. It's just like he's a bad dude, as they would say. But come on, we need to realize that somebody else isn't going to be any better. Probably going to be a little bit more sneaky about it or something, but... You know, we understand this stuff. Now, let's get to one of my favorite ones. That's religion. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Boy, I'm telling you, I understand religion so much, I despise it. I despise it greatly. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 here. Paul picked up on this right away when he said here that... Now I beseech you, brethren, verse 9, chapter 1, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. See, that's what Paul says we should find. But Paul doesn't find it that way. What am I looking for here? For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Well, Paul, welcome to denominations, you know. If we go to Hebrews chapter 13, we find the verses that these religious pastors park on. They love verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. They especially love verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Boy, what a guilt trip you can put on people. That's religion. Because we know that that's not written in the right, that's not written to us. If we go to Acts, let's go back to Acts. I think it's Acts 19. Well, I understand religion. I understand religion. I know religion's done to me. I know it's done to my family. And I taught my family this religion, and to this day it's destroyed because of religion. And he says here in Acts chapter 19, these people in Asia were upset because Paul was messing with their money. He says, verse 24, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Dinah, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. There's money in religion. Look at all the books you have in your bookshelf. Look at all the books you have purchased or people have purchased for you so you can read and find out what's wrong. But what does everybody say about what's right? Well, it's just put your faith in Jesus Christ and be born again and go into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and try to follow His teachings and do the Beatitudes. That's going to fix this country. Pray and seek His face. That's going to fix this country, this land. That's not the way God wants it to be spoken to today. Not at all. And so Acts chapter 19, these guys are losing their money. Verse 26, moreover you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul, I like that, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods. See, Paul hates religion. The risen Savior hates religion. And so as a result of that, it says here in verse 27, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, so in other words, these people stop buying money from the religious crowd, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, so people get a hold of Paul, we come to realize what those churches truly mean. And her magnificence should be destroyed. Oh, the magnificence of this great religion, or the magnificence of this Bible believer crowd, so right, and this guy is so mean and crude and cruel, and we just love it, and all the magnificence of this stuff, that stuff needs to be destroyed. So I understand that. You know, everywhere I drive, I mean, this is religious community center out here. We got Lutherans and German Lutherans and Catholics and Episcopalians. And North Dakota's full of Christian music in the stores back there. But look at the religions we got. It's religion everywhere. Not only do we understand what's wrong with it, slow down, okay. We know where it's going. We understand that religion is going to grow. Because the Antichrist has got to come back as an anti-Christ. Not an anti-president, an anti-Christ. He's going to come back as Christ. Well, we understand that Revelation chapter 6 tells us about that. But see, that's just a fake of Revelation chapter 19. That's the real Christ's return. See, we understand all this stuff. It's amazing, isn't it? There's an assurance there. The assurance of understanding. Does that make you arrogant? Well, that's up to you. How do you handle what you know? And remember, we're not just talking about a book knowledge here. We're talking about an understanding of what's going on. We understand the issue about health and disease when our kids get sick and we get sick and the doctor says, well, this is the call you've been waiting for. I know, 62 years later, I was right. 61 years ago, I knew I was going to die of something. It finally happened. I probably worried half those years, you know, kind of a thing. We understand politics. We understand the curses that are being ignored today, trying their best, but you can't ignore them, can you, ladies? I mean, you just can't ignore them. Men, we stay home long enough, we got to go do something. We don't want to just sit around and let the wives make all the money, etc., etc. We understand about marriages. I mean, there's a way to make a marriage work, etc., etc. Paul teaches that sort of a thing. But if it doesn't work, Peter's the one that says you don't dare get a divorce. Paul says, listen, if you got to get apart to cause peace, then you got to do that. We understand parenting. We talked about that. Understand parenting, how the mother and the father react differently to their children. And if the mother and father could realize that, they would get rid of their arguments. They would understand where each one is coming from. And the kids would quit winning the battles. We understand religion. We talked about that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 17, regarding this religion thing. 1 Corinthians 4, 17. We've got people that say they're Paul, and they say they're a Paul church. And I've seen them. I've talked to these people, and I call them, I don't know, make people mad, mid-actors. Nice people. I mean, they, you know, people go to a church because people are nice, full of grace. That's fine, but you're still not following Paul to a point because, see, you're still supposed to be modest. You're still supposed to understand your role. You're still supposed to understand all these things in Titus and Timothy. And what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 4:17, for this cause... What causes that? Well, to follow Paul. I send unto you Timotheus, verse 16. I send unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways. Not my brains, not my teachings, not my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. That's what our churches are supposed to be preaching. We're supposed to be telling people and helping people prepare for their judgment seat. Not for graduation with a gown and a crown. But see, we understand this stuff. We understand that. One of the thoughts I came up with yesterday, writing to some to a friend out there, was, does this false doctrine affect a salvation? And, you know, interesting question. We'll talk about that here later on here. Anyway, let's get back to this thing. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now that we understand religion, how damaging it is and how it needs to be destroyed. When you're driving around town, you see these churches and you say to your wife or she says to you, now there's a nice building. I sure wish we had a building like that. No, destroy that magnificence. Boy, look at all the activities they're having. Sure be fun to go to that church. No, destroy the magnificence of their fun party. They're teaching false doctrine. They're teaching a baptism for salvation. They're teaching form of Paul, but it's not right. I mean, it's wrong. It's to destroy the magnificence of that thing. All these people are so nice and friendly. I just want to go to a church where I'm so accepted and I can get to know the community. Yeah, but see, that's wrong. That's a deceitful thing that's going on in that church. Despise it. Destroy the magnificence of it. Okay. Anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I get done to these sermons, I listen to them again, I think, man, why did I not go on to that point? Or did you belabor that one too much or whatever? 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is a tougher one for them, but I understand it. I'm getting to understand it more and more. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Servant of the Lord must not strive. I'm okay with that. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. I'm okay with all that. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and, see, they realize what the truth is, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. See, I understand why people can't get out of their snare. I understand why it's impossible. They're not going to get out. They can say all they want. They're not going to. But the one that I struggle with is when they won't get out. They won't do it. Well, I understand why that is, because of a syndrome and all kind of. I understand why people are tricked into staying around where it hurts in abusive situations. I understand why people stay in the jobs they stay. Not that that's a situation. I understand why people stay in the marriages. All that stuff. But if it's a snare that's just devilish, and it's ruining you and your potential to please God and your potential for a personal eternal reward, why don't we do something about that? Well, that does bring me to flesh. I was going to save that for another time. My understanding of my flesh. We'll save that as we get going here. Let's do another one here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. See, I understand why people want to continue life the way it is. It's just the way we are today. Okay, go on. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Just up a little snidge in there at chapter 2, verse 3. Therefore, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know why people have lost their fight? They can't endure the hardness anymore. Well, what hardness does that mean? The hardness, how do you endure hardness? There's a hardness out there. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to be around it. They don't want to talk about it. So we have to endure that hardness as a good soldier. Stay in the war. But see, if you let that hardness get to you, you're going to lose your fight. How we do? I never thought to check the time again. If it's like 6:40, I think I'm about 35 minutes maybe. You can pop it on there in a minute if you want to there. I'm kind of checking the screen. How long have I been doing this here? Anyway, okay. Let's go to Proverbs 13. Here's something that I truly have grown to understand. Remember, this is about the assurance of understanding. It's exciting. I don't want to be arrogant. I get frustrated with other people because of this stuff, and we shouldn't let that happen to us. Proverbs 13. But you want people to get that same understanding. You want them to get it. You want them to see it. Scripturally backed, of course. Now we look here at Proverbs 13:10. Here's a simple little thing. Only by pride cometh contention. I'll look up the exact verse of it tonight. Only by pride cometh contention. Not only by pride with a few other things, but only by pride. Anytime you got a problem with something, you get upset about it, you've got pride you're dealing with. Now, in my case, for example, at the school, I got two kids. The one kid is very prideful, and he can't accept what I'm putting on him. So we have an argument. No, I'm not the one with the pride causing the contention. He's the one that's with the pride. I'm just explaining this guy the rules. So be careful that you don't slap yourself with this pride issue when it isn't you having pride. You're just sticking up for what's right. It could be when you get into a fight about it that your pride's coming through. I don't like to know that there's other people that have heard me preach this stuff before now are not interested. That's a pride thing. Sure it is. Like Paul says, he did his work in vain. None of us want that in our lives. Just remember, only by pride cometh contention. Maybe it's you that needs to back off and just save the contention, and maybe you can talk about it later or whatever. Okay, so how are we doing here? That's the time for that thing. We could do this one. We could do this one. We could do that. I'm going to say this for Wednesday. We're going to stop here. We're going to talk more about money. We're going to talk about peace with God. We're going to talk about music. We're going to talk about it. I'll give you the educational stuff. And that should give us another night of this stuff. Another night of blogging Paulson's Assurance of Understandings. And I'm sure I'm going to have to learn some more. My understanding is not full yet. I've got some things to learn yet. I've got some things to understand more so. But like Paul says, you know, perplexed or troubled, but not in despair. I'll just look it up and find it out again. At least I can find it fairly quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians. I guess I was wrong. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Yeah, I still don't even know these things, do I? Oh, like Paul said, you know it when the time is running down. You know when it's time to just play the old tapes from before. Here we are, troubled on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, and cast down, but not destroyed. That's all of us there. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And the only place you can read about the life of Jesus is through Paul. It's amazing stuff. And remember, Paul's manner of life is more important to us than his doctrinal awareness, because it's not our brain that's going to be judged, it's going to be our walk, our works, the things that we do. So, there you go for the night.